For scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. We read the verses 57 through 68. Matthew 26, the verses 57 through 68. There we read God's holy word. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, Matthew 26, the first words of verse 63, where we read God's Word and the text of the sermon, "But Jesus held his peace." Beloved congregation, if I ask you children what the Lord Jesus has done on earth, what would be your answer? Maybe you would first mention that the Lord Jesus has suffered and died for the sins of his people. Because in these weeks we commemorate the suffering Lord Jesus. He has suffered because of sin. He has borne the wrath of God, and you're right. He is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world, said John the Baptist. That is his work. That was his work on earth. The Lord Jesus has done more. We read this in all the Gospels. He has performed miracles. He has healed the sick and driven out demons. But most of all, he has preached. He has preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. When the gospel according to Mark provides a summary of Jesus' work, the author writes that Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus preached a lot. Lord Jesus himself says to Pontius Pilate, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus came into this world in order to testify of the truth. He preached the truth, and many have heard his voice. That was the blessing of his preaching, the blessing of his speaking. This morning, however, we are directed to Jesus' silence. Lord Jesus did not always speak. Sometimes he held his peace. That is what we read in the text of this morning. Jesus held his peace. That means that Jesus remained silent. There was also a way of bearing witness to the truth. And we want to listen to the miracle of grace that the Lord Jesus kept silent. And so we write above the sermon, Jesus kept silent. First of all, under the slander of man. Secondly, under the judgment of his Father. And thirdly, because of compassion for his people. Jesus kept silent. Under the slander of man, under the judgment of his Father, because of compassion for his people. Last week we saw the Lord Jesus getting betrayed by Judas with a kiss. Jesus let himself be bound in the garden of Gethsemane, although he could easily have called upon his Father to send 12 legions of angels. He waived the protecting power of angels because the scriptures needed to be fulfilled. With body and soul, the Lord exerted immense effort in fulfilling God's word. Satan's goal was to overthrow the Lord Jesus, but Christ shows his power and majesty in his willingness to do the will of his Father in the way of suffering. He let himself be bound precisely as it was foresaid in the Old Testament. And all the disciples forsook him. They fled into every direction because the shepherd would be smitten and the sheep be scattered as prophesied by Zechariah. The Lord Jesus had to go the pathway of suffering on his own without any human support. He went the way of suffering alone. He had to empty the cup of God's wrath till the last drop. Jesus was led to Caiaphas. According to the Gospel of John, he was first asked by Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas. In the meantime, couriers were sent out to the several members of the Sanhedrin to call them together for the nightly court session. Yes, it was night when the Lord Jesus appeared before the supreme spiritual court of the land. And that had never happened before, since this was against the prevailing legal rules. Research has been conducted about the fairness of the judicial process concerning Jesus. And what appears? All aspects of the process were ruled by randomness. According to rabbinic law, a death sentence had to be pronounced at daytime. Moreover, a case that would end up in a death sentence needed to be spread over more days. The Lord Jesus, however, was condemned to death within one day. And what about witnesses? According to Jewish law, every witness needed to be investigated as to his or her reliability. In Jesus' judicial process, there was no time for any investigation of witnesses. No, justice was not to prevail. The sentence was determined in advance. He was guilty to die. The only thing needed was a legal basis for his sentence. And this is the world upside down. Both the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas were acting against better knowledge. But there was no way back. They were not willing to consider that. And therefore, they could not, neither would, turn back the clock. With much scheming and deceit, they did all what was possible to condemn Jesus, whether according to God's law or not. In Numbers 35, verse 30, we read that it is not allowed to put someone to death with only one witness. No, a second ascending witness was needed. The Sanhedrin had diligently looked for two agreeing witnesses. In verse 59, we read that the chief priests and elders and the council sought false witnesses against Jesus. They sought for false witnesses, since a reliable testimony could not be found. Oh, of course, many honest testimonies were available, but they were useless for their plan to condemn Jesus. No, a false witness was needed. And there were many false witnesses. But there was not even two that could agree. Many contradictory evidences were found. The irritation amongst the Sanhedrin grew by the minute. And finally, the two were found who had more or less the same testimony. We read at the close of verse 60, at the last came two false witnesses, and you hear, as it were, a sigh of relief. And what do these two witnesses testify? That's what we read in verse 61. This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And maybe you wonder, did the Lord Jesus not say something like that? Yes, he did. As can be read in John 2, verse 19, that we read the words of the Lord Jesus, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. He, however, did not point to the physical temple of Jerusalem, but to his own body. He said that not he, but the Jews would destroy the temple of his body and that he would raise it up. So, these witnesses were false. It was a half-truth, and the words of Jesus were twisted. Two false witnesses were standing in front of the Lord Jesus. And what did the Lord do? How did he respond? But Jesus held his peace. That means that the Lord remained silent. He did not argue. He was silent and remained silent. Silence. Oh, since he was captured in the garden, he had not opened his mouth. Now, there were many false testimonies. In the room of Caiaphas, many accusations were leveled at him, but the Lord did not defend himself. Why did the Lord Jesus remain silent? Did the Lord Jesus resign to his doom? Did he keep silent since he knew that there was no other way to go than to be sentenced to death? Did he keep silent out of disagreement with the unjust judicial process? Did he keep silent because it did not make any sense to respond to false witnesses? Did he not want to cast pearls before the swines? Oh, congregation, there is no need to speculate about the answer. The gospel reveals to us that he is the willing mediator. He remained silent because he was willing to be humiliated. In his humility, he revealed his majesty. He had the power to respond, yes or no. He voluntarily and willingly let himself be humiliated. Isn't that a miracle? The Lord Jesus did not argue. He remained silent. And by this, he also places a mirror before us. The whole world was against him. All the injustice and hypocrisy of the Sanhedrin reveals something of who we are by nature. We have a heart that is inclined to twist the truth, to speak a half-truth, and to be hypocritical. When the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to what you are, you recognize yourself in all those who came to the Lord Jesus with false evidence. Every gossip has a sad purpose. Every spoken half-truth reveals whom we have surrendered ourselves to. In John 8, the Lord Jesus says, in no uncertain terms, where falsehood and false witnesses come from. They all come from the father of lies. That is the devil. And there is no clearer sin than the sin of lying, which exposes your subjection to the evil, to the devil. And every lie, and every gossip, and every slander, every form of hypocrisy comes from the devil. And we are responsible for this. We cannot blame Satan. The lie is in our heart. And every time we give in with lie, we subject ourselves to devil's work. He is the liar from the beginning. And a lie is terrible. A little white lie, gossip, it is all rebellion against the truth. Never forget that. The Lord Jesus has suffered deeply under the false evidences addressed to him. The sin of lying has burdened the Lord Jesus. But Jesus held his peace. He kept silent, consciously, voluntarily. If he had wanted to, he would have spoken. He could have spoken in such a way that everyone in the house of Caiaphas would know that he was the Son of God and that he would not let himself be mocked. He had the power to send fire from heaven to the chief priests, the elders, and the Roman soldiers like Elijah did. We read this in 2 Kings 1. Fire came down from heaven and consumed soldiers of Ahaziah. The Lord was able to do so, but he held back. Why? Well, in his silence, we notice something of his long-suffering. Of his long-suffering. What does that mean? Long-suffering. It means that the Lord is patient for a very long time. He can suffer sin for a very long time. His patience lasts a very long time. And this is what we perceive in his deep suffering as well. He bore it all. And a serious message comes to us. The Lord Jesus has suffered long with the Sanhedrin. The Lord is still the same. He is long-suffering. He is patient. What if the Lord acts according to our sin? Then we would be wiped off from this world. The Lord is still patient with this world. The Lord is still patient with you. Are you aware of this? You live under God's long suffering. God does not speak to you in anger. God is still very patient in the Lord Jesus Christ. But an end will come to his patience. Though his patience is a defined patience, it is not endless. Lord Jesus reveals this to the high priest when he is charged under oath with the words, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And then we hear Jesus answering, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." What was the Lord Jesus referring to? To the day that the Lord Jesus will come back in glory and majesty. That is after the Lord Jesus has risen and ascended into heaven. On the day of days, he will come back to bring all his people home and to condemn all those who did not believe in him. And the Lord Jesus says, as it were, to the high priest, "You see me now as the man of sorrows. You perceive no form nor comeliness. But soon, when you see me again, Caiaphas, you will see me in glory and majesty. I will come as the exalted Christ. I will come as a judge. This is truth." And maybe you are sometimes wondering, what will become of God's future? I don't notice God in society. Does God know that what is going on in this world? There is so much hatred and violence against God's church, and it seems that God is not angry with sin. Look at the wicked lifestyle that is allowed and even promoted by our governments. Yes, it is sad that all these things happen. And God is silent. Not because God is not angry with sin, but because he is so long-suffering. He is very patient. He sees it all, but he remains silent for now. The Lord Jesus, however, is coming. And that is what he said to Caiaphas. Seated at the right hand of the Father, he will soon come. He reigns. He reigns. He is in control. And when he comes back, he will judge all mankind. He will pronounce a just sentence from heaven. His silence will be broken by his just pronouncements. And before his holy laws is no man will be justified. Are you still unconverted? This morning, God's word warns you and urges you to repent. Do not remain impenitent, but seek the grace of the suffering mediator and substitute who remained silent when he suffered because of sin and who kept silent under all the lies and deceit of this world. He is the truth and the life. Seek Him and live. But Jesus held peace. He remained silent under the scandalous accusations. He remained silent under all the slander. The Lord Jesus remained silent, not only toward men. He also remained silent to His Father. Now we come to our second thought, namely that Jesus remained silent because of the judgment of His Father. Jesus suffered under the judgment of His Father. Every time you read about the passion of the Lord Jesus, you should keep this in mind. Jesus' suffering was not, first of all, caused by man's action. The Lord Jesus suffered mostly under God's displeasure. When the Lord Jesus stood in front of Caiaphas, He remained silent in His long-suffering. And soon He would stand in front of Pilate and Herod. He remained silent. And they all were earthly judges. While the Lord Jesus was standing in front of them, He was also standing before God. God had given Him the cup of suffering. When the Lord Jesus stood in front of Israel's supreme spiritual court, He was actually standing before God. Invisible to the eye, the Lord Jesus was charged by God. God had imputed to His Son all the sins and guilt of His people. And now He viewed His Son as damn worthy. God sentenced His Son to death because of the sin of this world that was laid upon Him. God cannot let the sins of His people go unpunished. Scripture is very clear about this. Your sins need to be paid for, otherwise there is no salvation. Your sin is rebellion against the holy and almighty God, your Maker. Sin is rebellion. Sin means that you missed the goal God has created you for. Sin is trampling God's heart underfoot, a heart filled with infinite love. And God condemned the Lord Jesus because of all the sins of those whom He carried on in His heart. God requires punishment for every sin committed. And God punished His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The judge of all the earth punished Jesus by putting the cup of wrath to His lips so that He would drink it to the last drop. The Lord Jesus took a sip, but Jesus held His peace. Isn't that amazing? No reply, no defense, no refuting the false accusations. Jesus held His peace. Voluntarily, He bowed under God's wrath over sin. And here we see the fulfillment of the prophecy which Matthew points to several times. Namely, the prophecy about the suffering servant of the Lord in Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But Jesus held His peace. His silence was a response. It was an answer to His Father. What answer? He agreed with His Father. Don't you know the expression Silence means consent. Jesus agreed. To what did he agree? He agreed with God's verdict over sin. See the Lord Jesus standing before the high priest, remaining silent. He heard all the false accusations. He was accused. He was rejected. He was treated as the chief of sinners. The Lord Jesus heard it all and kept silent. He was the substitute of his people. God laid on Jesus all accusations against his people. His people have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them and are still inclined to all the evil. And God viewed his son as if he had done all iniquity. But Jesus held his peace. And the Lord Jesus did not open his mouth. He did not refute the accusation by testifying that he was not guilty. No. He is the great substitute and savior of his people. And under all the accusations, he bowed his head and agreed, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and the bright are thy judgments." And by his silence, he agreed that his Father could not let sin go unpunished. He agreed that payment is necessary. The Lord Jesus agreed that he would pay for his people, though he was without sin. He bowed his head under God's judgment over his people. But what about you? Do you bow under God's judgment over your life? The Lord points out your sin by the means of his word. Do you know of uncovering work of the Holy Spirit? When he uncovers your sin, he does it personally. God speaks to you. He accuses you of rebellion. And what are you doing with this uncovering teaching? Do you bow your head? Do you keep silent when the Lord unmasks you? The Lord accuses you by his word. He shows you your guilt before him. He shows you the dreadfulness of sin. And when you get to know yourself better, you will acknowledge that nothing of you can please the Lord. Or was it different last week? Did you sin less last week? What about your sinful inclination? What about your sinful thoughts that popped up unexpectedly? And what do you think of the half-truths that you spoke? And what about your selfishness? When the Lord makes you honest, you will agree with him. And you learn to confess your sin. You cannot deny it. You have no excuses any longer. And the Lord says to you, "You are a sinner, a rebel." And you bow and you nod in agreement. And you feel like David after he was pointed to his sin by the prophet Nathan. And you acknowledge before the Lord, "My transgression I confess. Grieve and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just." Do you always feel this? No, unfortunately not. You can live so superficially without feeling any guilt and without being conscious of our sins. And meanwhile, you are a great sinner. And deep inside, we don't agree with God's judgment over us. We don't agree since sin has made us blind. And we have a deceitful heart. And we downplay our sins. Do you never smart under these inclinations? Does your conscience never accuse you of your superficial lifestyle? What to do? There is only one thing you may do, namely to lay down your hardened and superficial heart before the Lord and confess before the Lord that you have rarely experienced the abomination of sin. The Lord is willing to teach you. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you counter. Why do I need to have a heartfelt experience of my sin? And why do I need to sense that increasingly? Because in this way, room is made for the Lord Jesus Christ. You come in desperate need of Him, who kept silent under all accusations. And in His silence, you find grace to keep silent before the Lord when He points out your sin. You are blessed if you know of the grace of being silent. Then you acknowledge, Lord, Thy word is true. This is me. I give up all resistance. But Jesus held His peace. We see in the silent Jesus also His compassion for His people. Our third point. The Lord Jesus agreed with the verdict. He acknowledged that sin had to be punished according to God's justice. He revealed also His compassion to His people, since He was willing to pay the penalty instead of them. When the Lord Jesus experienced the blaze of God's wrath over sin, He kept silent. And by His silence, He showed His compassion for His people, because He is the voluntarily substitute for His people. He fulfills the words which He had spoken, namely, that He has come to do the will of God. And the will of the Father is that He should pay for the sins of His people. And when the Lord Jesus kept silent, He said, as it were, to His Father, punish me instead of my people. I will take on me the guilt of my people, so that Thou canst punish me instead of my people. Let me empty the cup of wrath. I want to be their surety. Do you hear gospel in these words? Jesus Christ was willing to be a surety for rebels, for ungodly people, for sinners. Have you seen this for yourself? If your eyes are opened for Him, then the gospel of free grace becomes so precious to you. With amazement you discover, Thou, Lord Jesus, has come in my place. I deserve eternal damnation. I deserve God's wrath. I deserve the penalty. In Jesus keeping silent, you hear the joyous sound of the gospel. I am standing here instead of you. I for you, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death. And through the eyes of faith, you begin to see the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He kept silent. He agreed. And by His agreement, He had suffered instead of me. You cannot but bow down in adoration. Lord Jesus, what has moved Thee to take my place? Your heart is filled with love for the Lord Jesus. You are in desperate need of Him as the Savior who was silent because of your sins. You confess my sins that cry out to heaven for retribution, for everlasting punishment, are covered by the silent Jesus. And then peace dwells in your heart. When you have a sight of this miracle of grace, you will humble yourself before the Lord for so much grace. There is still another aspect of Jesus' compassion shown by His silence. Namely, that He kept silent while He had the right to speak. The opposite is also true. The Lord speaks when He has the right to keep silent. Have you marveled about the Lord speaking? God would not be unjust if He had never spoken to us but had remained silent. If God had remained silent, no man would ever be saved. He could justly remain silent till our death. God, however, has spoken in paradise. He spoke to Adam and Eve even after they had fallen into sin. The Lord did not keep silent. He spoke. No words of condemnation, but words of compassion. Adam, where art thou? That was His uncovering and unmasking declaration. But it was also gracious speaking. It was a question of compassion. Adam, I seek you. I seek your salvation. And all God speaking, congregation, is gracious speaking. God spoke in paradise, and He still speaks to you. And the secret of His gracious speaking is found in Jesus keeping silent. He kept silent under God's condemnation. And therefore, God still speaks. We have closed heaven by our sins. We deserve God's everlasting silence. Because Jesus kept silent, heaven is now open. God speaks to sinners in order to save. And God still speaks words of grace to you when He lets you hear His voice in the preaching of the gospel. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God's speech is filled with grace. God comes to every man with the well-meant invitation. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Because the Lord Jesus kept silent, God now speaks. And no one can say that God does not speak to him or her. God is sincere this morning. And in His speaking, there is room for every sinner. God's word of grace comes to each and every one of us. Will God always speak of His grace? No. One day, no words of grace, but condemnation will be heard. It will be heard by those who did not believe in Him, by those who remained impenitent, without a sincere confession of sin, and without seeking refuge in Christ. And they will acknowledge God's righteous judgment. Those who are still reasoning, trying to silence the appeal of the gospel, will once be speechless. like the man in the parable of the royal marriage. He thought he could enter the wedding feast without a wedding garment. When the king addressed him with the question, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And what is the response? "And he was speechless." Don't be so foolish. It pleases the Lord when you repent. And therefore he says to you, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? So many times you read in the gospel the call to repentance. Do you know what this means? Not only that the Lord is willing to convert, but that he is able as well. It is still possible to repent only because of the Lord Jesus kept silent. What do I mean? Well, the Lord has not only merited redemption, but he applies it as well. The applicatory work of the Spirit has been merited by the Lord Jesus' suffering and death. He applies salvation to sinners by speaking to their heart. And he's able and willing to speak in such a way that you hear, as it were, his voice. You may believe, the Lord is speaking to me. It is addressed to me personally. And all obstacles fade away. All reasoning is gone. How does the Lord do this? Well, by his word. He speaks to you by his word, unexpectedly and surprisingly. The Lord works in your heart the desire to hear his voice. And God applies his word of promise powerfully. When he does so, he gives courage and comfort. You wonder about his salvation. When the Lord applies his word, you begin to decrease in your own estimation, and he to increase. You have great expectation of the Lord. You learn increasingly to pray for his grace, which God applies to your heart because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you learn to hope in the Lord alone. And to the extent you live out of the Lord's grace, it will affect your life. You increasingly learn to keep silent instead of speaking. You need to be more silent when we experience injustice. Maybe you are scolded at or ridiculed. Maybe people gossip about you. The Apostle Peter provides practical instruction in his first epistle, second chapter. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." You are so in need of God's grace to be silent and to leave your case with the Lord, who will judge righteously. And I encourage you to look to the silent Lord Jesus. This is the Christian's practice of a tender life in the fear of his name. In daily life, you learn to follow him who has borne the cross of his people. You increasingly pray for the Lord's grace, and you desire to hear his voice in his word. The Lord Jesus has merited it by his silence. Therefore, congregation, we wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people. He will speak. Amen.